Turn with me to Matthew chapter 25, starting with verse 31, reading through 34. It said, "When the man or the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." This morning we want to share with you from the subject of the hope of judgment an illustration that I think is apropos for the message this morning. When the ill-fated Titanic sailed majestically through the darkness on her maiden voyage to New York on April the 14th, 1912, more than 2,000 souls were enjoying the snug comforts of its lavish compartments. They were secure in the belief that neither wind nor storm nor wave could prevail against them. One of the dramatic incidents of that tragic night is recalled by the Washington Post, and I quote, "In the wheel room, a nattily uniformed officer hummed at his task as he directed the destinies of an ocean greyhound that even then was setting a speed record. The phone rang, a minute passed, another minute, the officer was busy. The third precious minute clicked away. The officer, his trivial task was completed, stepped to the phone, and from the crow's nest there was the cry, Iceberg dead ahead, reverse the engines. But it was too late. As he rushed to the controls, the pride of the sea crashed the berg head on amidst a deepening roar. Three precious minutes. Attention to trivial details and the big important opportunity slipped by until it was too late. 1,600 people, included many notables of two continents, paid with their lives for that officer's neglect. And in less than 2 hours, only bobbing lifeboats marked the spot where the $3 million marvel of the sea went down. This is a world that I think is a great Titanic. It is speaking figuratively, rushing towards an iceberg that is dead ahead. The Bible tells us the end of all things is at hand. Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth to end the return or this reign of sin. And when he comes, there'll be no time for repentance. There will be no time in order for a person to make their peace with Almighty God. It will then be too late. Now, and just now, is the day of salvation. Right now is the time to hear God's call and reverse the engines, turn around. Any other course means disaster and eternal death. Now, I think it'd be easy for us to say that it's easy to be a pessimist in a world like ours. Why is our world so dark? Why are we unable to rise above the circumstances? You see, the Bible has all the answers, if you will, for all the problems that we face. Now, the Bible is not pessimistic, but it is realistic. The heart of the problem in our world is sin in the human heart. And man can rise above this sin through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that we must trust him for our salvation. He died to redeem us. And so we must trust him for salvation. And if we call upon him, even in that still small voice of faith, he will hear our call and he will forgive us and cleanse us of all sin. Now, we must trust him to be saved. That is the gospel. That is the truth this morning. A day is coming when every man will be judged in response to that truth. There is a God in heaven. He is righteous and omnipotent. There is a day of reckoning that is coming, a day when God will wipe out all evil forever. Now, some say, why has he waited so long? It's been 2,000 years. He delays his coming for one reason. He doesn't want anybody to perish. He is a loving God, and he does not want anyone to perish, but all come to repentance. Well, there are three facts about the judgment that I want to share with you this morning concerning the hope of judgment. Number one, judgment is certain. They say possibilities abound, but certainties are few. Now, God's word shows that a day of judgment is coming, and that is a certainty. Judgment is certain. Because of what God is and who he is, we know that he is a holy God. In Psalm 7, verse 11, it said, God is angry with the wicked every day, or God will not make detente with sin. God hates sin. Some sins are judged immediately. Sometimes somebody does something terribly wrong and pays a tremendous price for it immediately. A person can drink too much, go out and drink and party, and then get in a vehicle and have a crash and kill themselves. Sometimes judgment is not judged immediately, and others will come to the great white throne judgment, and God is going to deal with their sin. Now, the Bible says in Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, and he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now, sin and judgment are like sowing and reaping. You see, the sin determines the judgment as the seed determines the harvest. Now, your reaping will be consistent with the seed that you have sown. Sowing to the flesh is asking for a harvest of corruption. That's what the Bible said. You're asking for corruption, trouble, problems, difficulties, and an eternity separated from God in a devil's hell. That is truth. Irregardless of what the world tells you, the Bible says, and that is truth. That you can build your life upon. God may delay his judgment, but he will not be mocked. Judgment is coming, sure. Now, Satan has tried to deny the certainty of the judgment. God told Adam, if you eat of this tree of knowledge of good and evil, you're going to die. The devil comes along and said, ye shall not surely die. Adam and Eve listened to the devil. They disobeyed God. They ate of that forbidden fruit. And they died spiritually that day. Now, Satan lied. He is a liar. He's been a liar from the beginning, the Bible tells us. Now, they were also subject to sickness, aging, and death. I'm telling you, if it wasn't for sin this morning, we would have no sickness. We'd have no death. We'd have no problems. But you see, man sinned, and he's paying a terrible price for it. God's judgment is sure. And the assurance that judgment is coming is the fact that Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead. In Acts 17:31, it says, he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all men in that he has raised him from the dead. Judgment is as certain as the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, the fact that on the third day Jesus rose from the grave simply said that he had defeated sin and death and Satan, and he now reigns on the right hand of the throne of God in heaven, and he is there alive and well. And if he is alive and well, that means that he can keep his promise that if we look to him, we can live. What a blessing. Jesus is the judge. The Bible said the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son. And his resurrection from the dead is the proof positive that judgment is coming. Brethren, there is going to be a payday. Some have said life is just like going through a cafeteria line. You pick this and you pick that, but keep in mind, there is a cash register at the end of the line. There will be a time that we must pay. How certain is judgment? It's as certain as God's word, and God's word cannot be broken. Well, judgment is also near. When the Holy Spirit would come, the Bible said, he would convict the world of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. He tells us that judgment has already come. That is, Satan has already been judged and defeated at the cross of Calvary. Now listen, Jesus Christ, when he went to the cross of Calvary, he took the sins of all the world in his body on that tree. He took your sins and my sins, and he died for them. But more than that, he took the sins of all the whole world, past, present, and future. He paid the price for all of our sins. And because he paid the price for our sins through the blood, we can have forgiveness of our sins, and we can have life and not death, which the devil would like to see us have. How near is the judgment? No one knows. No one knows. But note the warning. Note the warning. The time is at hand, and he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Now, this is in Revelation 22, verse 10 and 11. Now, John is saying that judgment will not alter a person's character. As a tree falls, so shall it lay. If he is filthy, when judgment time comes, there'll be no time to change. He'll still be filthy. If he is righteous when judgment comes, he'll still be righteous. In other words, there won't be any time to make amends. You know, I really believe that if somebody knew that they were lost and they had a few seconds knowing that the Lord was coming in just a few minutes, they'd try to get right. But you know, it's just like deathbed repentance. Now, I've had some folks get saved on the deathbed that I think was genuine, but I'm not the judge. The majority of folks that have a deathbed repentance probably don't get saved. And the reason why is some of them get well, and they forget what they promised God. I'm here to tell you that there's coming a time when there'll be no more time to make things right. There's coming a time when you can call, but God will not hear, and you will be eternally separated from God, who is loving and kind and merciful, and who wanted you to repent, but you said no. You walked over the grace of God, and you trampled the blood of Christ under your feet, and God has no alternative but to say, I've had it, you know, with you, but, you know, God's not like that. It breaks the heart of God when we don't repent. Peter wrote, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. James said, behold, the judge standeth at the door. Now, judgment is just as close as the return of Christ. Christ shall judge the quick or the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. So he says, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Judgment could come at any time. Yeah, I'm convinced we're close. I'm convinced we're close. I don't know just how close. I'm not a prophet, and nobody knows. But you know, when I read the scripture and I look at things that are going on in the world, it just tells me, look up, because this may be the day. This may be the day. Well, judgment is not only certain and near, but it's also good. Now, when you preach on judgment, most folks think, well, that's negative, that's bad. But sermons on judgment, even though they may not be popular, are necessary. The scripture says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. Isn't that good news? If you believe on him, you're not condemned. If you don't believe on him, you are condemned. John 5:24 said, verily, verily, or of a truth I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now the Christian will be judged, the Bible said, or tested by fire at the judgment seat of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13 through 15, it said, every man's work shall be made manifest. It'll be revealed. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed or tested by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is, the quality. If any man's work abide which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now for the believer whose works withstand the test of fire is the promise of reward. But what about the unbeliever? They are not judged at the judgment seat of Christ with the believers. They will be judged at the judgment known as the great white throne judgment that is described in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. Let me read for you. It says, and I saw, this is John talking, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. You see, God has a perfect record of all that we do. Our life is recorded in the books. The Bible said, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. What a tragedy. You know, the Bible tells us that we'll be judged by those things that are written in the book. Our life history is there. But praise God, when we get saved, he blots out the record in the books. And he records our name in the one book, the Lamb's Book of Life. What a blessing it is this morning to be a child of the King. What a blessing this morning to know that when judgment comes, we have one that is our advocate that is going to stand and represent us and say, Father, this is my child. He received or she received me as personal Savior. And he knows the time and the place in which it happened. God's judgment is according to truth. Paul begins Romans chapter 2 with a description of man's judgment. He said, thou art inexcusable, O man, for thou that judgest doeth the same things. And then he contrasts man's judgment with God's judgment. He says, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. You see, there's no hypocrisy. There is no inaccuracy. There's no falsehoods in God's judgment. His judgment is righteous. His standard's perfect. He makes no mistake. No one can claim unfairness at the judgment of God. His judgment is according to truth. But keep in mind this. God's judgment is preceded by mercy. Paul asked the question of all the hypocrites. He said, "Thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doeth the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" I'm here to tell you this morning that when God is good to you, that's his way of saying, "I want you to repent." Sometimes folks kind of get mistaken over the fact that because God is good to them and things are going well, they think, "Well, that's a sign of God's blessing on my life." No, it's God's desire to see you get right and stay right. It's God's desire to see you be saved and live for him. What a blessing it is this morning to be a child of the King. Let me give you an illustration in closing. When the famous minister Philip Brooks was critically ill a number of years ago, he was not expected to recover. He was in the hospital and visitors were not permitted to see him. Bob Ingersoll, the famous agnostic who didn't know that visitors were not allowed, called at the hospital and asked to see Dr. Brooks. He was told that visitors were not permitted, but that they always reported to the patient when friends called. And when the sick man was told that Mr. Ingersoll had called, Dr. Brooks insisted that he be allowed to come in. When Mr. Ingersoll entered into the room, he said, "I appreciate this very much, but why do you see me when you deny yourself to your other friends?" "Well, you see," replied Dr. Brooks, "I feel confident of seeing them in the next world. But this is my last chance to see you." You know, what a tragedy. What a tragedy. To come all the way through your life and misspend it and die. And as the tree falls, so shall it lay. If a person is filthy, they'll stand before God filthy. If a person is righteous, they'll stand before God righteous. The time to change, the time to do something about it, is now. For the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Today. Let's bow for prayer. Father in heaven, we're so thankful for your love and your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your precious word and what a blessing it is to have the hope of judgment, knowing that our sins are remitted, that we're covered by the blood, and we have been given an imputed righteousness. And Lord, we stand before you as your child. And you say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But Lord, we know for those that are on the outside, living in sin, that Lord, even though they try to do right things, they've never asked for forgiveness, they've never been saved, they've never asked you, Lord, to come into their life and be the Savior and Lord of their life that you want to be. I pray that you will help this morning, that they'll walk down this aisle and meet this pastor down front, take him by the hand and say, "Preacher, I want to give my life to Christ. I don't want to be almost, but altogether a child of the King. I want to know that my name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life." For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Will you stand together with us, please?